If you would take your Bibles and open to Joshua chapter 5 this morning, Joshua chapter 5. We are working, as I mentioned earlier, we're working our way through a series called A Walk Through God's Story, seeing sin and salvation from beginning to end. We are in the month of March looking at specifically the law. And that is a really difficult thing for us to comprehend because we live under grace, and whether we have known it or not from the day we've been born, we have experienced really the grace of God because of the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are in Joshua. The book of Joshua records for us a culmination of Israel's journey to the promised land. The book is historical. It is written for coming generations. It serves as a bridge connecting the days of Moses and the days of the judges. In the month of April, we will be spending our time in the book of Judges. Joshua is a bridge between the time of Moses and between the time of the judges. And so what Moses began with the Exodus from Egypt, Joshua will continue through the inheritance and allocation of the promised land to the tribes of Israel, and then the judges, by God's direction, will come onto the scene. In January, we focused on beginnings, God's power and His wisdom. In February, we focused on the patriarchs, God's promises and love. Both of those months primarily in the book of Genesis. In March, we've worked our way through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, majoring in on the law, God's holiness and His faithfulness. Again, April will be Judges, but right in between today, we have this book of Joshua. The question in the book of Joshua is raised to the people, how will you live in light of all that is true? In light of everything that's been revealed to you, how will you respond to that? How will you live because of all that you now know and much of what you have experienced? Whereas we were to see the character of God in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where we were to see the character of God in those books, we are to see the importance of man's response of trust through the book of Joshua. So the book points to the importance of committed obedience before, during, and after God fulfills His promises. Simply put, will you trust Him for who He is? This morning, let's look at how the book begins and ends. And let's see the challenge to think rightly and trust God as a result of His revealed character. At the beginning of the book of Joshua, Joshua is appointed as Israel's new leader, a new Moses, if you will, since Moses has been taken home to heaven just prior to these events. Joshua commands in these beginning chapters, he commands obedience to the ongoing covenant with God. He sends spies into the land, and he brings the people successfully through the waters of the Jordan River. And it's on the western shores of the Jordan River that I would like us to begin today with a few key verses. So if you would, look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. So he has, again, he's brought the nation across the river, and they are encamped outside of Jericho. When Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And so he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. And so Joshua runs into a heavenly commander who makes it clear that the battles that will unfold in this book are not really about Israel versus the other nations, but about God fulfilling his promise to the family of Abraham. Stick with me for a moment. Joshua asked the angel if he is for Israel or for the enemies of Israel. You and I are very familiar with that kind of question. We love it when people are, quote unquote, on our side. We love to bring people around us who connect with us, people who are for us, people who make us successful, and people who make us really feel good about ourselves. We love it when people are for us. Now, Joshua, he is feeling the weight of leading this massive amount of people, and he knows that they are now in enemy territory. And so the question is a decent question. It's logical. But by the angel's answer, we know that it really is the wrong question. I don't think Joshua would have known that. But Joshua says to the angel, are you for Israel or for the enemies of Israel? And the angel answers, no. Now, I don't know about you, but if I give someone, are you this or this, and they say no, I'm left speechless. What does that mean? The word no here is rendered from the Hebrew word that can imply neither. Neither. Are you for Israel or are you for Israel's enemies? Whose side are you on? The angel says no. Neither. As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Here's the idea. The idea is, Joshua, I know who I am. I know where I stand. It's not whether I am with you or with the Canaanites. The real question here, Joshua, is, are you on God's side? This being is here at the authority of God. He has the privilege of knowing God's plans. Joshua, right here, right now, who do you stand with? You think about how often we are consumed with who's on my side, who sees things like I see them, who's in league with me, when the better question for us to ask is, am I on the Lord's side, and is it obvious? He has always been faithful. Remember last week. In Leviticus, we saw the holiness of God. In Numbers into Deuteronomy, we see the faithfulness of God. He always has been this. And so, Joshua, are you obviously walking with him? And believer, are you walking with the Lord? He has always been faithful. Any evidence of unfaithfulness will only and ever be found in you and in me, not in him. So the angel's response shows us that what is really going on here at Jericho is not primarily Israel versus Canaan, but God fulfilling his plan, and Israel will either be participants in the victory or simply spectators with the obvious consequences of not aligning themselves in faithfulness to their faithful God. God is going to fulfill his plan. Who is this? Who is this standing before Joshua? As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua, the time is now. Will you be faithful to your faithful God? And this is going to be a major question as Israel is established now as a land-owning nation. Israel, are you going to submit yourself to God and uphold your side of the covenant, your side of the promise? See, the one side of the covenant is not in question. God will uphold his side. Israel, where will you align yourselves? Will you follow him and do things his way? Or will you do what you believe to be right and usurp his rightful authority? Now, here's the setup. Chapter 6. Let's go ahead and put this question to the test right away. Israel is on the verge of a military attack against the fortified city of Jericho. And we see the unusual military strategy that God has planned that's explained in the beginning of chapter 6. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Do your own study on the fortification of this city. It was an immense structure. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Remember this statement, "I have given." Verse 3, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow their trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout. And then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." You and I know the end of the story, but the people of Israel do not. As far as a military plan, this isn't ranking up there in the top 10. Walk around it for all those days, and the last day, walk around it, and the trumpets are going to blast, and you're going to yell. Yes. Good one. I'm not making fun of God's plan. What I'm saying is, human wisdom says, we've got to do this. We've got to come up with a great plan. God says, no, you just need to obey me. That's it. See, it doesn't matter how Jericho falls. Jericho, while it is an immense fortress that you are standing before, while it looks overpowering, while it looks completely defensible by them, while it looks like you can't, all you have to do is walk around and yell. Because it's not the walking around and it's not the yelling that's going to do it. Faithful God says, "I will do this for you. Will you simply be faithful?" Again in chapter 5, the angel says, I know whose side I'm on. Whose side are you on? Will you do what he asks you to do? Simply put, all the defeat of Jericho will require is faith. The trust that is going to be required to take Jericho is just a taste of what will be required for the rest of your days, Israel. Will you trust your God, His power, His wisdom, His love, His commitment, His faithfulness? Again, Israel, your way or God's? Times haven't changed much, have they? Because for you and me sitting here, really our life boils down to that. Your way or God's. Yeah, but I've got to put myself in a better position. I've got plans that have to be accomplished first. I've got money that has to be saved. I want to be able to make this move first. God doesn't need your plans. God doesn't need your resources. God doesn't need your way. He is giving you, as faithful God, an opportunity to say, you're right, I'm on His side. I go with the Lord. I go with Him. And it is based on His ongoing faithfulness. So throughout the book of Joshua and in the battles that are listed in the book of Joshua, Israel is going to learn, and so often it's going to be the hard way. But they are going to learn to walk in covenant faithfulness with their God. Again, do you remember verse 2? And the Lord said to Joshua, see, look at this. I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor, and you can add to that list the walls and the fortress and all that is man-made. I've given it all to you. I am faithful. Will you walk by faith? There will be victory in the book of Joshua as they trust him. There will be defeat as they don't. They will experience miraculous preservation of life when they lean into God, and great loss and embarrassment when they go in their own strength. We won't spend time with this, but in the account of the Gibeonites, some of you have read about that already in your Bible reading, the account of the Gibeonites. There's a key verse right in the middle of that account. It's verse 14 of chapter 9. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They chose not to trust. They chose to go about things their own way. Again, they will experience the miraculous preservation of life when they lean on God, and they will experience great loss and embarrassment when they go in their own strength. But in the end, here is what we read, Joshua 21. Spend the time in this book. Go through the different accounts. See the faithfulness of God. See the wisdom of God's way. Joshua 21. And notice in verse 43 and following. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. Faithful God, right? We've seen it for the last 3 months. We have seen God's promise, God's holiness, God's faithfulness. And so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. God did exactly what he said he would do. He was working toward the fulfillment of his promise. He can be counted on. He is faithful. And so the question comes to Israel that really came to Joshua at the beginning of the book. He can be counted on. He is faithful. Israel, how about you? Turn over maybe just a page to Joshua 24. The beginning of 24 is a history account. Brief, Joshua doesn't go into as an extensive history report as Moses gave, but still he wants them to remember God's faithfulness. So in verse 3, this is the Lord speaking, "Then I took your father Abraham, to Isaac I gave, to Abraham I gave Isaac, to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau." Verse 6, "Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Verse 11, "Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho." Verse 13, "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth." That means let him be the object of your worth. Let him be the one you worship. "Serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. There is no choice here. I know we want to jump to verse 15, where the choice is mentioned, but understand what the Lord is doing. He is putting before them the fact and the reality of his faithfulness. There's no choice here. Serve the Lord. I am who I am. I have been faithful. Now serve me. Again, let's be honest, there really is no choice here. Because of all that he is, only a fool would do something different. And yet, how often will we decide that it is best to do or to say, to act in such a way that it is obvious we are not walking in stride with him? The expectation from the Lord is that they will continue on in worship and service and faithfulness. This is the expectation of the Lord based off of his faithfulness. Remember Leviticus. Leviticus is a message of holiness. Israel, this is what it means to be holy. And God gives them opportunity and even provides a way for them to maintain holiness through sacrifice and forgiveness. So Israel, here you are. You have seen me bring you across the river. You have seen me bring you through Jericho and through all of these dozens of nations which you have seen victory over. Serve the Lord. Exclamation point. Serve the Lord. Joshua concludes, notice the last line of verse 15. Joshua, as he's giving this message, he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It really is not, okay, we are choosing this point forward to serve him. This has been his pattern. God is faithful. I serve him. There's no choice to be made in this. In God's creative plan, I am creature. He is creator. He is faithful. I serve him. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because this is what the Lord expects. Verse 14, serve the Lord. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. This is what we will do. This is who we are. But Israel, if you want to live in futility and in foolishness, this is what your days will look like, 15a. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, by the way, side note, how foolish is that? Based on the way it's laid out, this is an act of utter foolishness. To bring it into New Testament terms, this is Antichrist. This is Antichrist. 1 John. We're studying 1 John on Wednesday nights. And we're learning that there are those who choose foolishness. There has been a sacrifice that's been made. There's been the perfect blood shed. There has been a Savior who has conquered death, and they choose to go against. We will live our lives in foolishness. We will live our lives antichrist. We will live in darkness, and we will make darkness after darkness after darkness decisions. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He's not talking serve the Lord or serve foolishness. The only right thing to do is to serve the Lord. But if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, foolishness, then choose yourselves this day whom you'll serve in your foolishness. Whether the gods of your fathers that your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Foolishness. This is not the choice. This is the path of destruction, which many had already chosen. Joshua says, I serve the Lord. I am with the Lord. That is who I have aligned myself with long ago. The people answer in verse 16, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And so they say yes. And notice what Joshua's response is in verse 19. They say in the latter part of verse 18, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, verse 19, you cannot serve the Lord. Well, wait a minute. I thought everybody could serve the Lord. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. But I thought God forgave. Oh, he is a God of forgiveness. The idea here is if you continue in foolishness, yet say you are aligned with a holy God, there will be consequences. Verse 21. The people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. It's the only logical conclusion. If God is who he has said he is, as he has shown himself to be, this is the Lord. Serve the Lord, verse 14. They say in verse 21, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. You have aligned yourself rightly to walk in faithfulness with this faithful God. Verse 31 says this, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. It's a long time. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Israel served the Lord. Verse 14, serve the Lord. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord. This is the position all of us are in. See, before salvation, really, there is no choice. We sin, and we stand committed to our own way. This is what we do as an unsaved person. Yet God, in his faithfulness, breaks into our monotonous routine of sin and offers to us a great and a gracious salvation. As the call was made in verse 14, serve the Lord, worship the Lord, in a sense, faith. Faith the Lord. Trust him. This offer of salvation stands before us. And the truth is that Jesus is it. Else we continue in sin and damnation. Jesus is it. He has died. He has shed his blood. He has risen from the grave. And the offer is there. Wisdom says, walk with him. Foolishness says, no, I'm going to go make other choices. But wisdom says, go with him. Once saved, this is why we begin our testimonies of salvation. God saved me when? Because he is the master of this. He is faithful. He is the one who is at work. He is the one who pursues us to salvation. And when we say, I am a sinner, but God provided a way, and I faith. I believe, I trust. He is the only way. Not a class, not a membership in a society, not growing up in a righteous family. It is Jesus, and he is it. And so, I yield, and he saves. I place all my hope and my trust and my faith in him, and he faithfully saves. Once one is saved by God, he is born again into the family of God. Now, believer, the question for you is, will you serve him and be active in his victories, or just be a spectator and suffer the consequences of that decision? You say, well, I mean, what's that really look like today? I mean, there they died. And back in Joshua's day, they were stoned. You remember Achan? I'm going to do it my way. I know God said, don't take anything, but I'm going to take something from this city. He went his own way. He chose to be a spectator. And as a spectator, he and his loved ones were killed. You say, boy, Dale said, I'm thankful for the new covenant. Yeah, it's an understatement. But you know, the one who chooses to be a spectator and just kind of not serve the Lord, they grieve, oftentimes with doubts of their salvation. I don't know. I mean, am I really saved? Or I mean, can you really know? Wisdom says you can. 1 John chapter 5. These things are written that you may know. The spectator has frustration in their relationships rather than peace in the one most important relationship. I'm not saying that the one who's active in the fight is not going to have struggles in their relationships, but they will have peace in that one all-encompassing relationship. Confusion over life decisions versus resting in the wisdom of God. Disappointment with the lack of purpose in life rather than a quiet confidence, a settled resolve that my God knows best. Oh, my time in the Bible is just so dull. There's my prayer life, I hardly know if my prayers are leaving past the ceiling. Worship, we're singing that song again? Consequences for the child of God who's choosing the life of foolishness. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Serve God, don't serve God. Serve God, don't serve God. Worship Him, well, kind of worship myself actually, and He gets the leftovers. A life that is governed by a weakened faith and an inordinate amount of trust in my own wisdom and hunches and theories and my own wits. Believer, will you serve Him and be active in the victories or just be a spectator and suffer the consequences? See, it all comes down to trust. To faith. An obedient faith brings about abundant blessing. Whoa. Prosperity theology? No. No, a gracious and good God goes with you and stays with you. It's a real question for Israel. And it remains so for us today. God leads His people and He leads them into His service. So will you walk faithfully with and serve your faithful God? Will you worship Him with your life? How often we come back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Presenting my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. My prayer is that we will serve Him. It only makes sense. It's why it is called our reasonable service in Romans 12. Our service of holy worship. My prayer is that that is what will characterize our lives, and there will be no question of that to those who live around us. He has been faithful to save, so He will be faithful to equip us to serve Him all the days of our life. That is Numbers. Because God was faithful then, and He remains faithful today, He who has called you is faithful. Will you serve Him? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the book of Joshua. We haven't touched hardly at all on all of the testimonies of faithfulness as we read through the book. But our Father, we conclude our study here in these first several books of the Bible with the words that the bones of Joseph were buried and Joshua was buried and Eleazar was buried. Death is coming. The Israelites experienced death all throughout their wilderness wanderings, through the battles, the consequences to sin. But ultimately, all of us in this physical life will die unless our Lord comes first and calls us home. How much better for us to live in Jesus through his resurrection. How much better to know the security of being held by the love of God. How much better for there to be in our minds, not even a choice, I serve the Lord. He is faithful. What can I do but serve? And so I pray for my brothers and sisters who know Christ as their Savior. God, I pray that they would worship you well. And for those who are wandering in darkness, God, I pray that they would see the great light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. I pray that they would call out by faith. Yet for those who remain in darkness, I pray that they would see the futility in serving the gods of our fathers on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, that they would see the futility of going their own way. Would you shine the light brightly on them? So that Christ would be what they see. That there would be a yielding, a surrender. They would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Father, help us not to waste our lives. I pray that as your people, you would take us and use us this week. That we would go from this place and on our lips would be, we serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. It motivates my thinking. It impacts my decisions. It determines where I go and what I do. I do pray that you would be everything in our eyes. That we would put off sin. That our minds would be made new, and that the righteousness of Christ would be exhibited. For your glory, for our good, we thank you for Joshua and his surrender to you. May we, Wausau Bible Church, serve the Lord all the days of our lives. And will we pass that on to those who come after? We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this assembly of believers. Would we encourage each other in this task? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.